I think that we need to realize that, because a lot of the analogies he spoke about don't make a whole lot of sense to us. Like when you see land like this in Jesus' day, that meant you starved to death. It's dry, it's arid, there's nothing green. Because, you know, it's like to look and see a sprout when you're a farmer and you're depending upon what you raise to feed your family, then when you plant a seed in the ground and it sprouts, you get really excited. Sprouts are very important. But I think when we hear the word sprout today, it doesn't really mean anything to us. It's like none of us are struggling to eat. It's like, you know, most of us, when we think of sprout, we think of Guardians of the Galaxy. And you know Groot? You know, Groot was one of my favorite characters on that movie. All he would ever say is Groot. And he was this big tree thing. And you know what's interesting is, at the very end of all the movies, if you've never watched them, I'm going to give you a bad spoiler. He gave his life to save his friends. And he surrounded them when something horrible happened, and it destroyed him, but they all lived. You see, because we do go through hard things. We do. And Groot gave his life for his friends. And it's funny, you can see a spiritual analogy there, can't you? If any of you can't get it, I need to talk to you about Jesus. Like, do you know who he is? Do you know he gave his life for his friends? For you? That's like, Jesus talks about that. You want to know who the most thankful person is? It's the person who is forgiven the most. Like the Pharisees and those guys were judging this woman who was a prostitute, and she was broken, and she came in and she wept, and she washed Jesus' feet with her tears, and she dried them with her hair, and she poured oil on his feet. And they were all saying, why is Jesus letting that dirty woman touch him? Holy people don't let dirty people touch them. And Jesus said, oh, he said, this shows that she has met God. Because he who's forgiven much loves much. He who's forgiven much worships much. You know, it's funny. Analogies are like that. Parables are like that. And so when we think of sprouts, you know what happened to Groot? He gave his life. He died. All of his friends are so sad because he died, right? It's a movie. That's what they tell stories. Well, then, in the middle of all the ashes, because he was a tree thing, he turned into ashes. In the middle of all the devastation, guess what they found? A sprout. There was life in the middle of that, just a little tiny sprout. But when we hear sprout, we're like, sprout? Who cares? Sprout? Why does that matter? Me? I'm a sprout? Well, that's just disgusting to think that way. That's so childish. That's just a movie. Well, Jesus, in his speaking to people, he used analogies mostly about farming. And we're not farmers anymore. So it's really hard for us to understand. I think we'll understand more that movie we're going to watch on Friday night than we do the what Jesus did. You know, I love this. A few years ago, we studied leadership deals. And in the leadership things, what we studied was there's different types of leaders, right? And if you're having a team of people, you need to be able to access the gifting in the whole team. And so we found out that some people are, I started to say predators. What I mean is pioneers. Like the pioneers are the type A bossy people. They see somewhere and they're going there and they're going to run over you if you're in their way. That's a pioneer. They're really that way. And then we've got pioneers' worst enemy. That's the guardians. Guardians are people who care about everybody. They care about the past and they look and see what happened and they look at the risk involved in what that pioneer is going after. And a guardian is constantly pulling a pioneer back and a pioneer is constantly going forward. And then you've got the Dana Wessels. I mean, I didn't mean to say a name. You got nurturers. Y'all know what a nurturer is? A nurturer is just one, oh, I want to love you. Come here. I'll make you feel better. You know, it's like, thank God for the nurturers, right? It's like, I'm not one, but I thank God for nurturers. And then there's This is my main thing. There's creatives. Creatives are really strange people. They think lots of different things. It's not talking about creativity like Camille's art that Jennifer Hughes, and they had, they're drawing some new art for the sidewalls. It's going to be cool. But I'm not creative that way. I'm creative in the way of I'll think of 100 solutions to whatever problem you have. Now, 98 of them won't work. Sorry. But I'll give you my best shot. If you want an answer, I've got it. Maybe wrong. I'm fully aware it might be wrong, but it might be. And that's creatives. And then the last one that I want to talk about that I can't remember the name of it. Connectors. Connectors. Yeah, Marion, there's a few of you guys out there. Connectors, actually, they're the guy you call. It's like Tim is a connector too. He's a guy you call if you want to know how to change the light bulb on top of a water tower. Because he'll know. You know what? You connectors say this all the time. Well, I know a guy. Josh Carillon is a connector. He kills me. Josh Carillon knows somebody that knows everything. He said, "You know, Josh, I just had my guitar, the F string just broke." He said, "Well, I know a guy." And you know what the truth is? He does. Ask him. Any problem you have, he may not be able to do it, but he knows a guy who can. And that's what a connector is. Well, you know, when I look at this desert region, the truth is we need things to sprout. You don't have to be a farmer. Maybe you're in a relationship and you fall in love with some young lady, or some young man's fallen in love with some young lady, or a man with a whatever, and a young lady's fallen in love with a young man, and she loves him, but he's not paying her any attention. So you know what she does? She gives him that eye thing, you know, like, "I like you," that thing. Yeah, sort of like that. If she gives you a look like that, run. Probably not the girl for you. But you know what I mean? And she's looking for that relationship to sprout. It's like you're at work and you're working hard to get a promotion and you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's and you're doing your best job. You're working hard waiting for somebody for it to sprout in your boss, in the owner of the company, that they're going to put you. Or you have a business idea. And you work at it, and you work at it, and you work at it, and you're waiting for that thing to sprout. Or you're raising a child, and the child is maybe behind their age group in some things, and they're not catching up, and you're working with them, and you're working with them, and you're waiting for that thing to sprout, to come alive inside of them. You see, here at Grace Fellowship, we want to get it back. We want to get that life back that we used to have. And it's like we're looking like, "God, we're going to follow you. We're going to follow you. We're going to follow you." Because I know if I follow you, you see, because I do know a guy. No matter what problem you're facing, and we all face them. It could be a relationship. It can be somebody you care about. It could be finances. It can be getting your life free from something. You're waiting for that sprout to happen. And the truth is, I know a guy, you know, and I think most of you know him too. His name's Jesus. He's the king of sprouting. He's where all life comes from. He's where all everything comes from. And you see, sometimes we get in a place in our lives where we feel like it's just barren ground. It's dry, it's dusty, it's hot, and we don't believe. But I tell you, I'm glad we sang that song. They didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know they were going to sing that song. But we wait. What do you do if you're in a desert? You wait for the rain to come. There's nothing wrong with that ground. There's nothing wrong with you. You just need the rain. You just need it to rain. And we're waiting for it to sprout. And Jesus is where it all comes from, because in the middle of that vast dry land, if you zoom way in, you'll see this. You'll see that sprout. And you see, it matters. Because we all have areas we need something to sprout in. And the thing is, how does that seed going to sprout? You see, Jesus talked about this all the time. And I believe that he has the answer for it, right? Because he does promise a harvest. It may not be what we're looking for. It may be a longer dry spell than we've ever dreamed of. But He is the Lord, and His kingdom is coming on earth, and He's going to sprout. You know, I love in Mark 4:26, Jesus told them this parable. He always talked in parables. And I want to tell you, He still does today. Worship this morning, everything is a parable. You see, not everybody understands. And you're going to see that in the passage I want to read in a second. But look at Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Jesus told them this parable. God's kingdom realm. Heaven coming to earth. The supernatural power of God working in your life, your family, and your world. That is like someone spreading seed on the ground. He goes to bed, he gets up day after day, and the seed sprouts and grows tall, though he knows not how. All by itself it sprouts, and the soil produces a crop. You see, God is the seed. God spreads God's the seed that gets planted, and we're the soil that he plants seed in. And he says, Jesus said, the soil determines the flourishing or non-flourishing of the crop. But my seed's going to sprout. My seed is seed, and it's supernatural. And all by itself it sprouts, it says in verse 28, and the soil produces a crop. First the green stem, then the head on the stalk, then fully developed grain in the head. Then when the grain is ripe, listen, do you get in too big of a hurry wanting the dry ground to produce a crop? You know, are there things that you've been praying about, waiting on, and maybe it hasn't happened? Hebrews 11 says, the great wall of faith says all of those people believed and had faith for something that never experienced on earth, but they did in heaven. You see, we don't get to say when the head is ripe and harvest comes. It may be three generations from you. That's why we think about children and we pray for children. We pour our lives into children because we're investing in the future. This isn't just about me. Your work, your life, your giving, your sacrifice, it's not just about you. You impact generations to come. And Jesus is in charge of when this happens. And so it happens when it's time. Yeah, but I want it now. Well, you ain't God. It'd mess you up. Listen, personally, if you ask God, go talk to Him about it. Talk to Him about it. A few years ago, I was watching our children move in the gifts of the Spirit, falling in love with Jesus, just like crazy. I mean, like children all through all ages. And I'm watching that, and I'm talking to some 14-year-old, I don't remember who it was, but I'm talking to them, and they talk to God. They walk in miracles like I only read about when I was in Bible college. And they walk in them. And I was sitting there at my desk one day just praying. And I'm like, Lord, man. I was sort of scared to death. I was sort of dreaming a little bit. God, what would I be like now at 50 years old if I would have fallen in love with you when I was 14 like these kids? I was like, man, and I was just sort of dreaming, you know. I wasn't complaining. I mean, I wasn't complaining. I was just like, man, God, I would have done that. And God said, oh, really? I'm like, uh-oh. I get that from God fairly often. I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't see something. You're about to give me an education. He said, if you would have fallen in love with me at that age, if you would have had that harvest then you wouldn't have married your wife, you wouldn't have had Daniel, you wouldn't have had Matthew, you wouldn't have your grandchildren, and Grace Fellowship wouldn't be here, and you'd be pastoring some big church in a suburb of some metropolitan area. And I was like, gross. It'd be my worst nightmare. Guys, we can't see. I couldn't see 40, 50, I can't do the math that much. It was like 50, I couldn't see 50 years down the road. God said, I got this. I'm like, Lord, you do have it. I would have messed it all up and changed my destiny for what I thought would have been better, but it would have been worse. It would have changed everything. Guys, we need to wait on the Lord for the harvest. There's a harvest coming. Now, I don't know about, you know, for you, the harvest may be in heaven. I'm sorry, but some of you probably got to wait till you get to heaven. That's okay. You know, I figure in heaven, I'll get new eyes. I'll be able to run again. All the stuff that's wrong with my body will be fixed. I know that'll happen in heaven. It might happen here. I've been healed here before. But the truth is, I'm going to hold on and wait on the Lord, because He's always good. You can follow anybody you want to. Go ahead, lay your life down for any theory, any philosophy, any physical thing you want to, and Jesus is better than anything. And that's really true. So, there is an answer. And I want to look at a couple of scriptures, a passage, if we have time. John 12:23. Jesus said, now's the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Let me make this clear. He's like, listen, I want to be clear about this. And then he tells another parable. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies. Because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died. That's what it looks like in that ground in that first picture. There was seed under that hard, hot clay, broken soil. There was seed waiting to sprout in that dirt. And I tell you, it's like a lot of us have experienced this or are experiencing it. Last week when I talked about what we've gone through as a church, we've died. And we didn't just die, they buried us. Listen, do you realize how heavy dirt is? 1 foot of dirt. If I got you to lay down here and I put 1 foot of dirt on top of you, put you 1 foot under, that's over 1,000 pounds holding you in the dirt. You can't get out. Not by yourself. And you know, the truth is, God said, listen, unless you're willing to die, you're going to remain where you are. But if you want to have a harvest, if you die and you don't give up, and you believe, and you love, and you trust God, no matter what is weighing you down, God's going to raise you up, and there's going to be a harvest that comes in your life. It'll be better than anything you've ever dreamed of. And I believe that's where we are as a church. I believe that's where a lot of us are individually. You're in a hard place. You're going through a hard thing. Well, I got a great idea. Give up. That was sarcasm. Don't give up. Trust Him. Well, what's He got to do with it? Everything. Well, I'd rather have my breakthrough. No, you'd rather have Him. Trust me. You'd rather have Him. You're just going to mess everything up if you get a harvest out of season. Yeah, but what I'm going through is hard. Yeah. Feels like I'm dying. Yeah. I may die. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, trusting Him will have a harvest no matter what happens. And so then Jesus says, I hate this part because this is not true about any of us, but some people believe this way. The person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life. Well, shoot, that means all Americans are condemned because we all love our life and we all pamper ourselves as much as we absolutely can. Now, don't act like you don't do it. Is anybody in here wearing camel hair underwear right now? I don't think so. You pamper yourself. We do. We have air conditioning. We have everything. You know, my shirt's soft. My shoes are comfortable, I guess. They're shoes. You know, it's like we have air conditioning in our car. We have water outside. We got cold water fountains on both hallways. We have indoor toilets so you guys can be comfortable. You see, we pamper ourselves all the time, but the source of life can't be in that. Now, that's not bad. It's not bad. It's the person who loves that, who depends upon that for their life and their joy, that person will miss true life. So you need to ask yourself, what's more important to you, your pampering or him? Well, I don't want to define pampering, because pampering, it depends on what country you live in, depends on what year you were born. It's irrelevant. It's an attitude of who's more important to you. Do you get ticked off because you don't have something that other people in our world have that makes them more comfortable than you are? That tells you something about are you this person? I don't want to be this person, because I want to find true life. Life that the world can't take away, that age can't destroy, that you can't rot or rust. That's the life Jesus brings. That when you hit hard times, you stand up and you're proud and you're happy and you're full of faith. Amen. Yeah, but you're in a hard time. I know the water's about up to right here. But I'm going to smile the whole way because of what's in me. And so it all happens. And then Jesus says this: he who abandons himself, the one who detaches his life from this world. To detach yourself from something, you have to make a step. It's not going to happen without you making a decision. Like, I'm going to detach myself of my shirt. Watch. Kidding. I'm not going to. You have to do something. What do you need to detach from? It's a hard question. What do you, me, you, we're all yous, what do I need to detach from in this world in order to find true life? It's hard. Because I like to pamper myself. That's why I like nurturers so much. They just pamper me like I'm crazy, you know? It's like, it's sort of sickening, but it's also, I like it. Until it interferes with what I'm doing, then I don't like it so much. Guardians drive me nuts, those of you that are guardians out there. Most of them I ran out of the church already, so there's not very many around. And I didn't know how to value them. I just thought they were trying to argue with me all the time. So Jesus says this: if you want to be my disciple, follow me and you will go where I'm going. If you truly follow me as my disciple, this is funny, the Father will shower his favor upon your life. He'll give you that person you've been looking at and trying to hook up with, trying to develop a relationship with. Right? He'll give you that person. He didn't say that. He said he would shower blessings on you. And he determines what the harvest is, not me and not you. And I think a lot of us get offended and mad and angry because, listen, what God has for you is better than what you want. Get over it. You're not that smart. You can't see the future. You can't see the past. God knows what's best for us. And if we will trust Him, He will bring life to us, even in the midst of hard things. And God, so He made us a promise. If you'll follow me, and if you'll go where I'm going, if you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favor upon your life. That's the words of Christ. And he was serious. He said it'll be just like a seed that gets planted. And you know, he talked about seeds all the time. So it's like, and this is what, we're not going to do that one. It's like a mustard seed, right? The tiniest of seeds. But in God's kingdom, that tiny seed becomes the greatest tree that even the birds can land in it. You see, that little tiny thing in your life you think's tiny may become a giant oak tree that puts shade for generations. It's about the seed. It's about the seed. But you know who determines what happens to the seed once it sprouts? The soil does. The soil does. We have a part to play. It's not automatic. God invites us into this partnership, and this relationship. It's really good. You know, and so I think what's coming up, that movie on next Friday night, it's a movie. I watched it. I watched half of it. Okay, I didn't actually see the whole movie. But I'm going to watch that movie with an open heart. And I'm going to listen to what Tyler sees from the Lord in that movie. Yeah, but it's a movie and it has like undertones of this and it's got this and that and that. It's just a movie. But when it's interpreted by the Lord, it becomes life. Seeds are just seeds until God interprets that and makes it into a parable. And then it brings life to us. So Luke 18, this is where I've been trying to get to. It's where we're heading. I'll give you a heads up. Jesus says it this way in the NIV and the King James, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What Jesus says is, there's a key to life in this story he's about to tell. There's a key to life. It's like, you know that Arkansas lottery has six numbers? Right? I think. I don't know. I've never done a lottery ticket. However many numbers there is on a lottery ticket, you pick the right numbers and you win $17 million, right? Well, Jesus said, hey, I'm going to give you all the lottery ticket number right now. We would like perk up a little bit. Those of you that don't have a good memory, you'll be screenshotting what's on the screen. So you won't get the numbers wrong because of, I mean, you're going to have to split that $17 million with 40 people, but it's still a lot of money. So that's what Jesus said. He said, listen. So Jesus began a ministry tour throughout the country, visiting cities and villages to announce the wonderful news of God's kingdom realm, to proclaim the good news, to share the good news, that this is where life comes from. That's what he went to tell people. Guys, this kingdom, if you want to live in the blessings and favor of God, this is how you live in this kingdom. This is the way you do it. And his 12 disciples traveled with him. And then Luke did a really interesting thing. He talked about the women too. The other authors of the Gospels didn't talk about the women. But Luke said, there was also a number of women who had been healed of many illnesses under his ministry and set free from demonic power. Jesus had cast seven demons from one woman, and then he tells her name and where she was from, which would embarrass the heck out of all of us. She was from the Mary of Magdalene. She was from the village of Magdala. Among the women were Susanna and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, who managed King Herod's household. It's like, you know what happened? Jesus went against his culture, and he talked to women and discipled women just like he did the men, which was totally against their culture. And these women were healed and set free. They found life. Almost every one of these women, as far as you can tell from what he wrote, were women of financial stature and prestige in their community, like big wig women with resources and many other women. And they all supported Jesus' ministry from their own personal finances as they traveled with him. You see, he had those 12 disciples, he had those women, and there were other people that followed him around. And these women wrote the check for every meal they ate. They paid for everything they did. They had an important part to play in what Jesus was doing. And they were women, and he saw them as important. And so they traveled with him everywhere he went. Him and those 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, right? And then it says, massive crowds gathered from many towns to hear Jesus. And he taught them using metaphors and parables such as this. Now, this is where you can pay attention. Maybe you've read this 1,000 times, but maybe you've never paid attention. Because this is a serious, serious thing for life. He said, a farmer went out to sow seeds for a harvest. You see, God did this intentionally. He sent Jesus to the earth. You see, Jesus was a seed that got planted in the soil, wasn't he? Jesus has experienced every dark thing you've ever experienced, every trial, every tragedy, everything you've ever experienced, he experienced. And he died, and he got buried in the dirt. He wasn't just under 1 foot of dirt. He was in a tomb with the thousands of pounds of rock around him. not even that could keep him from rising. And as he scattered seed, some of it fell on the hard pathway and was quickly trampled down and unable to grow and became nothing but bird seed. Then some fell on the gravel, and though it sprouted, it couldn't take root. It withered for the lack of moisture. And other seed fell where there was nothing but weeds. It too was unable to grow to full maturity, for it was choked out by the weeds. Yet some of the seed fell into good fertile soil, and it grew and flourished until it produced more than 100-fold harvest, a bumper crop. Three simple illustrations. Then Jesus added, shouting out to all who would hear. He wants you to hear this. It's hard for me to imagine Jesus shouting so everyone could hear him. Listen with your heart and you will understand. Listen with your heart. Well, guys, we live in a world that doesn't listen with our hearts. Matter of fact, we say don't listen to your emotions. We live in a world that's logical, reasonable, based on fact and history, based on experience. Depending on your family and your uprising, we all have very rigid ways we think. Right now, we all do. And whenever we hear something or read something, it goes through those filters. And Jesus says, listen with your heart and you'll understand. That's a different way to listen. What he's talking about goes way, way beyond. He said, and later, just like us, right? His disciples were embarrassed to ask him. They didn't have a clue what he meant when he was teaching those thousands of people. And, you know, you don't want to make yourself look like an idiot in front of everybody. So we don't. So they waited till later. Just like, do you understand what he means? Fully understand what he means when he tells that parable? They didn't. They didn't fully understand. So they caught him alone in private. And they said, Jesus, what's the deeper meaning in this parable? And he said, you've been given a teachable heart to perceive the secret hidden mysteries of God's kingdom realm. You see, there's something you need to understand. To walk in the kingdom, that understanding only comes from a relationship with Jesus. And when you have a relationship with Jesus, he gives you the ability to understand. That word understand, it's a verb. It literally means to come to agreement or to come together. You see, the understanding that you can have comes from your relationship with Jesus. When you come together with him, the word perceive and teachable, those words, it means union. Isn't that an interesting thing? I thought I used my head to understand stuff. And Jesus is saying you use your heart. You come to me and I will give you understanding. And I'll give it to you. And those disciples, those people were following him, had given their lives to him. And so they were beginning to get understanding that wasn't available to anyone else. You've been given a teachable heart to perceive the secret, hidden mysteries of God's kingdom realm. You know who determines what happens to you? You do. You do. I do. As you love Jesus, as you dedicate your life to him, the more you fall in love with him, the more you'll perceive and the more you'll understand, and the more of his kingdom will be expressed in your life. But to those who don't have a listening heart, you see, it's like we determine that. Yeah, but I want to have the revelation, blah, blah, blah. Listen, revelation doesn't come from you. It comes from him. And your relationship with him is where you're given revelation. It doesn't come from you figuring things out or forcing yourself or study. It comes from relationship. It's because God gives us that heart. He gives us a teachable heart that can perceive the hidden mysteries of God's kingdom realm. But to those who don't have a listening heart, my words are merely stories. Just stories. Just stories that don't change anything. But to people who have joined themselves to Him, those parables become bread. They become life to us. And even though they have eyes, they're blind to the true meaning of what I say. And even though they listen, they won't receive full revelation. Here then is a deeper meaning to my parable. The Word of God is the seed that is sown into the hearts. And that different versions translate that differently. The gospel, the good news, the full story of the kingdom of God. Whenever people hear that, that becomes the seed that can sprout in someone's heart. So, you know, when we look at what we're focusing and we're looking at, when you share the good news of who God is, that He's good and that He loves you and He cares for you and that Jesus died for you, when you share that, when you literally share that, when you speak it to other people, it releases a seed into their hearts that will bring a harvest. And I think sometimes we've gotten distracted. Now, some people are going to be, and He's going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about that today. He's going to go into detail about this. The Word of God is the seed that's sown into hearts. Do you know that you and I have a responsibility to share who God is, who Jesus is, to share His story with people? And when we do, the same life that comes into us that we have experienced, they can experience. And it'll bring a harvest. And I think sometimes we've gotten to a place where we forget that you have to share the Word. You have to share. They have to hear you. And when they hear you, that's the Word of God. That's the seed of God that's getting planted inside of them. And God is waiting for us. We're the ones who've been given this commission, this mission, this honor, and this privilege of sharing with others the life we've experienced. It's like those lepers, right? They found food, and they went and told the people in the village that hated them that they found food, and those people lived. Guys, we found food. You know, Friday night, we're having a movie. That's something you can invite your friends to, and then they'll hear the good news. That seed will get planted inside of them. Sunday morning when Tyler's speaking, he's going to give a spiritual parable from that movie that I think is right on. And it's powerful, just like the parables Jesus told. So Friday night, invite your friends. You know, it's going to be fun, but it's about more than that. See, Jesus had a purpose when He came to earth. And we have a purpose now that we're still here. So it's a big deal. So how do you hear? How are you hearing? Are you hearing with your heart? Or are you running everything through this? Through your experience, through your knowledge, through your understanding? Or are you listening with your heart? Because if you listen with your heart, you'll experience life. A life the world can't take away. Following Jesus is the best way to live. I know it is. Now, Jesus is wanting you to follow Him too. He wants you to fall in love with Him. And when you fall in love with Him, those mysteries, those unknown things, they'll begin to unfold. And you'll find life that the world can't touch. So this morning, maybe you're here and you've never followed Jesus. You've never fallen in love with Him. I mean like real love, like going steady, you know, the real deal. It's like get a t-shirt with His name on it and He'll get one with your name on it. It'll be great. It's way deeper than that, but it is that too, right? He loves you. He wants to whisper good things in your ear. And He wants to bless you and He wants to pour out His favor on you. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for you. So this morning, I'd like to invite you. If you've never met Jesus, if you don't mind, let's all stand up. I'll finish this sermon later. It's in my computer. It's not going anywhere. The best part of this sermon is what I didn't do yet. So it's coming. But let's follow Jesus. Let's follow Him. Let's give Him our hearts. And then our everything will change. Your understanding will begin to change. You'll begin to see the world differently. So let's, if you don't mind, let's just bow our heads. So Jesus is looking for you this morning. So Harvey, you got a prayer team down here? We'll have people that want to pray with you. So just go inside of your heart. So if you're here this morning and you've never broken up with the world, God wants you to break up with the world. I know a guy, and his name's Jesus. But for to go with Jesus, you have to leave that. You have to leave it. So Jesus, would you just speak to each one of us this morning? Is there something that you want us to leave, to let go of, to reject? Now, this may be for salvation. It may be just for your life. I think it's for all of us at some place. Jesus, would you reveal to each one of us, do we need to reject something from this world? So in your heart, you can make that decision right now. I choose Jesus. I reject that. I reject the world. I reject that lifestyle. I reject those answers. And I choose Jesus. Come on, God's calling you. Now I'm going to ask Jesus to show you something else. If you need to come forward and let someone pray with you and join you in this, I'm going to ask Jesus to show you that. So Jesus, would you show each of us right now if we need to respond, to come forward and pray with someone about this? I don't have to belabor it. You know what the answer was. So we're going to be dismissed now. Don't forget Friday night. It starts at 6:30. 6:30, and it's going to be fun. Invite your friends. And if Jesus put that yes in your heart that you need to come forward and somebody to pray with you, these guys would love to pray for you. They're all nurturers. They will just love you to death, okay? So God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. Worship team, thank you for leading and worshiping.